Okay. Shalom, everybody. What they taught us in statistics is that when you look at a graph and you see it going from a super down place to a super high place within a very short time period, that is something way out of the ordinary. And last Shabbat, a week ago, Israel went into shock because we had thought that we had arrived in the Menucha Vel HaNachala. We're in the Talich HaGeula, and Baruch Hashem, the state of Israel is getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And we thought that we can deal with small issues like the reform of the how much democracy and how much Jewish and the relationship between the Knesset and the Supreme Court. And all of a sudden, last Shabbat, literally within a couple of minutes, everybody was shocked back into reality. We're still in the Middle East. We thought we had built a villa in the Middle East, and we forgot that we still have a way to go in the process of Geula. And from the lowest point of unity, people were already talking about having a civil war 2 weeks ago with 40 weeks of protests and violent protests and anti-Bibi and just Bibi and everything, and five elections in 2 years, and to go from that lowest point in terms of national unity to rise all of a sudden to the highest point of national unity. I was not here during the Yom Kippur War, but the last 45 years since I've been in Israel, this week is clearly the most achdut, the most unity, where everyone's helping out. And guys, the guy three houses away gave his life to save hostages in Kibbutz Be'eri. And it's important sometimes to put things into perspective and to remember the proportions. It really was a shock. Me'oraot Tarpat, the riots of 1929, there were 133 Jews murdered. Now, there were 10 times as many murdered in one day on Shabbat. In other words, it really put everything, shifted everything overnight into a different gear. On the other hand, again, to keep things into proportion, 1,300 Jews murdered is less than one day in Auschwitz. And not just the Holocaust, sometimes, you know, the Holocaust puts everything in a different light. But in 1917, during the Russian Revolution, a guy by the name of Simon Patolyura, within a period of 6 weeks in the Ukraine, in a series of more than 30 pogroms, killed 17,000 Jews. In other words, thank God we still have a Jewish state and we have a Jewish army. And again, just to understand the perspective, our enemies are hiding underground and they're shaking like mice and they know that we're after them. And that was not the case during the Holocaust, and that was not the case during the Pitoyura riots, and it was not the case in the 1929 riots in Hebron. In other words, thank God, we have to keep everything in perspective. We know that we're going to win this war, and we know that we're stronger, and we have the world opinion, at least for as of today, on our side, and we have to work quickly. But it's important to understand, in terms of the writings of Rav Kook, what is going on. And maybe I'll just start off with a short story. I think I've mentioned it in the past, that Rav Yehoshua ben Meir, he was a young guy learning in Yeshivat Merkaz Rav during Milchemet Yom HaKippurim. And afterwards he became the Rosh Yeshiva Nefrat. Some may remember his brother was Yehuda ben Meir, who was a member of Knesset. And Yehoshua ben Meir was in the Rabbanut Tzva'it. He was in, and he spent the first 3 days of the Yom Kippur War identifying and burying 2,000 soldiers. Now again, just the Yom Kippur War was a calamity, and we had more people killed in one day than on any single day of the Yom Kippur War last Shabbat. So yeah, we are in shock. Nevertheless, this young Merkaz Rav student was going crazy. He had a terrible trauma after burying many young boys for 3 days. And his officer sent him home to take a little rest. And he lived in Yerushalayim, but instead of going home, he went to visit his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, in 1973. And he gets there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he sees the light is on. He sees Rav Tzvi Yehuda walking around. So he allows himself to knock on the door. Rav Tzvi Yehuda opens up the door, sees Yehoshua ben Meir with blood all over his army uniform. And they both hug each other very much. They both start crying. And then Rav Tzvi Yehuda says to him, "Efo ha-choze? Where is the contract?" Now, Yehoshua ben Meir didn't know what contract he's talking about. He thought, okay, it's 2 a.m. He's an 85-year-old man. Maybe he just woke up. So he just let it go. And then Rav Tzvi Yehuda said again, "Where is the contract?" And Yehoshua ben Meir politely asked, "What contract? I'm Yehoshua ben Meir from the yeshiva. You don't recognize me?" He said, "I know exactly who you are. And I know where you're coming from. And I know why you are coming. And I know your question. And that's why I'm asking you, where is the contract?" Yehoshua ben Meir said, "You're right. My question is, how, if we are in the Geula process of coming back to the land of Israel, and one Aliyah, second Aliyah, third Aliyah, the miracles of the War of Independence and the Six-Day War, how could we get such a shock of having 2,000 boys killed in 3 days in the Yom Kippur War?" And Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, "That's exactly my answer. Where's the contract? We don't have a contract from HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that it's going to be easy sailing. As a matter of fact, anybody who learned Tanakh knows from Yechezkel and Zechariah that there are going to be wars as part of the redemption process, the wars of Gog and Magog. And that's exactly what we're experiencing, where the Navi tells us that the Goyim are going to gather up and to try and take away the land of Israel from us. And it does not say that it's going to be easy. And that's why I want to learn with you, in the words of Rav Kook, the father, his reaction to the terrible pogroms of 1929 and 1932. Let's see source number one, Losif Ometz. This appears in Ma'amarei Re'iyah, page 72. Kishebnei Adam Chofrim Be'er, hold on, let me go into share screen. Okay, share screen, Chalon, share screen, here we go. Okay, can you people see me? And the source sheet? Okay, great, okay. Kishebnei Adam Chofrim Be'er Amuka. When a group of people are digging a deep well. You have to remember that was the first thing when you wanted to set up a yeshuv, you had to dig for water. Kedei la'asig mayim chayim be'eretz tzia utzchicha, hakorim mityagim. Those who are digging for water, it's hard work, and they get tired. Be'amal rav olelem lavo ada omek amuchshar lanvia et amayim. And those who are know how to work. I was asked to ask people to mute themselves. Dick Tracy. Okay, thank you. And, you know, there are certain people who are professionals, and they know where to dig for water, and they know how deep to dig. And the diggers have been digging. Joshua, can you put your microphone, mute your microphone? And the diggers arrive to the depth. Maybe send them a text. And they dig to a depth that they should be able to reach water. And they still haven't reached water. לפעמים הייאוש מתגנב בלב ואומר להם, הלו כבר יגעתם כל כך הרבה, וחרס עלה בידכם. And there are some people who give up hope and say, hey, we haven't found water. Now notice, this is really the second group, because there's a previous group of people who don't dig. There are some people who are so lazy, or old, or weak, or whatever, and they don't have koach, they don't have strength to dig at all. Now, among those who are already digging, there's a second group who give up hope as soon as we get to the depth where we should have reached water. Paragraph bet. Rabim mi'ayfei aguf v'chalushei ha'nefesh v'day porshim min ha'avoda. And there are a lot of people who leave the work v'olchim lehem b'asher yelechu. Aval eile akshurim b'kishrei neshama. But those who are connected with their souls, with their spiritual ideals, im achifetz shel megamata be'er hachaya sheba'atid, with the concept of that living water well that they are about to find, b'yichud eile, especially those, she'emunah chazakai, that they have a strong emunah. Here, Rav Kook is talking about the religious Zionists, who know that Hashem is in the process of redeeming us. They will not lose hope, and they continue digging. Paragraph 3. And now we're going to get to the third and fourth group of people. V'inei acharei sveyat de amal, v'inei zerem mayim paratz, v'arehu olev v'shotef. And finally, they hit water. Aval hamayim diluchim hem, but the water is dirty. Mu'uravim b'refesh v'chol. Right? Obviously, first time you hit water, the first water is going to be muddy. And here, the third group is going to give up hope and despair and say, yeah, this is what we've been digging for, this muddy water. And Rav Kook goes on to say, the first group who was too lazy to dig, you know, there are a lot of Jews who don't want to participate in the Geula process. Okay, you know, you can understand, 2,000 years, Jews were passive, so they continue to be passive. The second group you could understand, those who dig and dig and dig and they don't get anywhere, they say, okay, I guess we're not in the right project. But the third group, Rav Kook says, I don't understand them. If finally we hit water and they lose hope just because the water is muddy and they get dejected and they leave the project, Rav Kook says, that there is no logic. And the logical people are those who are in the fourth group, who dig for Geula. They are part of the Zionist process. They participate in the building of the state. They make Aliyah. They serve in the army. They're helping out. They see. Baruch Hashem, most of the Jews in the world today, 7 million Jews, are in the land of Israel. And the army is the strongest army in the Middle East. But there are some people who get dejected because they wanted the full Geula. And they want Mashiach now. And they are upset with the muddy water. And Rav Kook is telling us, all we have to do is hold on a little longer. And Baruch Hashem, we are guaranteed victory in this war, just like in 1948 in the War of Independence and in the Sinai Campaign in 56 and in the Yom Kippur War of 73 and the First Lebanese War of 82 and the Second Lebanese War and the Intifada and Second Intifada. Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael always wins. That does not mean that we have a contract that is going to be easy sailing. And in source number 2, this is Rav Kook's reaction after the Hebron riots of 1929. Again, there were 133 people killed, which again, don't belittle what happened last Shabbat. It was 10 times as bad as Ma'orot Tarpat. And it was in one day, not in a week. In other words, we really got slapped. And we are reeling. But the most important thing is that even though it hurts, and yeah, we are in shock, shock and pain is not disillusion. Shock and pain is not confusion. Especially when the sources tell us that, yeah, there is going to be shock and pain as part of the process. It's the up and down arrow, which is always advancing. But let's not forget that, not to be dejected. Shuvu L'Bitzaron, Rav Kook's source number 2. It appears in Ma'amar Eriya, page 360, again after the 1929 riots in Hebron and really all over. And Rav Kook, let's start on the fourth line. Rav Kook talks about La'at la'at, Hechel, third line, Hechel nihanitzot ha'kadosh hazeh li'na'er ayidei mechonenei ha'yishuv ha'yashan. About today, it's almost 200 years since the Aliyah of the students of the Vilna Gaon and the Aliyah of the Hasidim and the beginning of the return to the land of Israel. Ubitkufa achrona, again Rav Kook is writing in 1929, Hechelit gaber betchunato ma'asit al yedei tnuah shel chibat zion shekadma letzionut. And since then we have made, Hashem has brought us giant strides of advancement with the chibat zion movement, and afterwards the Balfour Declaration, and the First World War. And this holy, in a lesson, V'ruach Hashem asher al hamo, the spirit of Hashem that is on his nation, udvaron ne'aman le'olam. You remember, Hashem has promised, and we can bank on his promise, that he is going to return us to the land of Israel, and he's going to fulfill his covenant. Lizkor chasdei avot ulavi goel livnei v'nehem. And, as we've learned many times, even if we are not the greatest tzaddikim in the world, Hashem is redeeming us, Umevi goel livnei v'nehem lima'an shmo be'ava. Because, number one, he promised our forefathers, and even if we don't deserve it, he has to fulfill the promise. Number two, lima'an shmo, because, especially after the Holocaust, when everyone was asking, hey, where's the Jewish God? Are we still the chosen people? And be'ahava, and out of love for Am Yisrael. And not only that, it's important to add that after everything we went through and we suffered, also in the Shoah, as being God's chosen people, also since the founding of the state of war, 26,000 people killed, we have paid a high price and we have given to it for being God's chosen people. So Hashem has a lot of reasons why he should redeem us. So hofia la mifala kadosh haze bechol chalakav chomriim varuchaniim ad kedei itorut hanafshit hagdola haolechet umitpashetet bekneset Yisrael lechalakea. All the different parts of Am Yisrael. Charedim for one reason, socialists for another reason, secular Zionists for a third reason, religious Zionists for a fourth reason. Everyone is coming and joining for their own reason. Bezrata shel ha'tnuah tzionit lizramea. Right? We are seeing God's redemption. Ume'et Hashem haitazot. We can't forget that all of this is God. Hashem is pulling the strings behind bringing today, Rav Kook would say, 7 million people, most of Am Yisrael, is in the land of Israel. But it's important to point out, let's jump for a second. I brought in source 14 something very interesting that I have to admit I never noticed. Rav Oad pointed this out on Shabbat. When we say in Halil, when we thank Hashem for victories, for miracles, for redemption, we say Odcha ki ani tani vati li lishua. We thank Hashem that He answered us and He redeemed us. This is the day that Hashem has given us, and we will be happy, and we will sing to God. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. What in the world is this doing here? You know, we say this with a lot of kavanah when we say Hallel, but Hallel is a happy prayer, and these are chapters of Tehillim where we thank and sing praise to God. Mina mitzar karatia nani bamer chavia. And here, at the climax of Hallel, we say, Ana Hashem Moshina, God, please save us. And the answer is, again, it doesn't say anywhere that it's going to be smooth sailing. Adraba, the Navi tells us they're going to ups and downs and up and down in the Gula process. And then how does David HaMelech continue? Eli ata ve'odeka. What is ve'odeka? In the future. God is our God, and just like we saw him in the past, he redeemed us in the past, and we need his help now, in the month of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Dalid, we are confident that Hashem will answer us, Eli ata ve'odeka. We will thank Hashem when he redeems us. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. Hashem's goodness is forever. So that Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, it really is in the right place. And that is exactly where we are at in Jewish history. Where we are seeing the redemptions time after time after time, and Aliyah after Aliyah after Aliyah, victory after victory. But for every victory, there was a battle with casualties. And getting back to Rav Kook, so even that we recognize Me'et Hashem Aitazot, all the Zionist movement is from God, and Ki Milchemet Olam Hevia Tatmurot Agdolot B'Sidrei HaMamlachot V'Amdinot. Only God could arrange World War I that changes the Chalukah of the Middle East, of Europe, that brings the land of Israel from the Turks, from the Ottomans, to the hands of the English, and then HaKibush HaBriti, Vatzarat Balfour, the Balfour Declaration. Who? Only Hashem could have arranged all of this. Paragraph 2b. V'inei otot hazman hagdolim halalu, asher kol lev yehudia ne'aman la'amo l'torato. These, we are living in great times, and anybody who is loyal to Am Yisrael and to his Torah, L'nachalat kodesho, to the land of Israel, ula'otzar nevuato, whoever follows and believes in the prophecies and that they are and coming true, hu eid re'iya al miflaot tmim deim, go'el Yisrael kedusho. I don't know if you ever thought of it, but some people complain today, oy, such a shame we don't have prophets today. The truth is, we have something even greater than prophets. We have prophecies of the prophets 2,700 years ago coming true. I mean, those prophecies did not come true in the time of Yeshayahu. They didn't come true in the time of Yirmiyahu. Today they're coming true. And so that's what Rav Kook is saying. We have a lot to be thankful for. Asher krua edron natsaru la'akim oto lo la'ama im nachalara v'tav kime kedem otot ha'gdolim alalu. These great events, Shem Tzrichim Liot Noarim B'chol Oz Behirutam, that it is worthy to notice and to thank Hashem for all of the clear, great things that Hashem is doing in this Geula process, Halchu V'nitashtishu. This is the first covering. A lot of people don't realize the greatness of our times, because they get mitushtash. How would you say mitushtash?
Blurred.
They get blurred. Mitoch tigrat hayan shel hashimush ma'asi hamitamerit bahem. You look at the Knesset, you look at all the political fighting, you say, what, this is the state of Israel that the prophets predicted? Yeah, of course it's not perfect, but that is covering number one. That is the challenge of free will. On the one hand, God is giving us a heck of a lot of reasons to thank him and to realize that we are in the Gula process in historic times. On the other hand, the day-to-day politics and the day-to-day challenges, and we're busy with our economy and we're busy with Corona, that is the first covering. But there's another covering, Piska Gimel. Oto ha-yesod ha-kadosh, shu ha-nose ha-ikari, shel kol ha-chazon ha-gadol haze, yesh bo mishum nitzotz tamir shel oro shel Mashiach. There is a hidden spark of the light of Mashiach, ha-goel sheniglah ve-nichseh ve-chuzer ve-nigleh. Rav Kook here is referring to the Midrash in that I brought for you in source number 4. Those who have the sheets, it's a little different. In Bamidbar Rabbah, Ana dodi ve'amar li, Hashem is called in Shir HaShirim, my beloved. Remember that, we're going to get back to that soon. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the God. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. What does it mean, I am the God? Asher otziticham eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Egypt. Tchilat domed dodi litzvi, ma tzvi azed nigle v'chozer v'nichseh. During the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was not easy sailing. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says, yeah, I'm going to redeem the people. And he starts doing miracles, and come the 10 plagues. And what was the reaction? Paro stops giving us a hay, and he gives us more work. And the people complain, kvetch to Moshe Rabbeinu, what, this is redemption? Domedo de Litzvi. I was just on Shmirah last week at all of Am Yisrael, as we said, as everyone is helping out. And last week I was at a funeral of a Chayal Boded, Ole Chadash from France, that they said that, you know, he doesn't have family in Israel, and everybody has to, you know, whoever can should come. So my wife and I went to the funeral, and I wanted to find out a little about this guy. He gave his life for Am Yisrael, what Mesirut Nefesh. So I asked the guy next to me, do you know Binyamin Lev? He said, no. This guy on the other side, do you know? I asked 4 or 5 people, nobody, all of them were like me. We just came to show our solidarity. Just like he, this kid, made Aliyah from France and showed his solidarity with the Jewish people. And I don't know, even Jews in the Chutz La'aretz. Did you hear there was a Jew in New York who came to Kennedy Airport and said he would pay for the ticket, the flight ticket, for any chayal who flies to Israel to fight in the war, just last week. More than 250 tickets. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
I hope Elal gave him a hanacha. And then there was another Jew in New York. This, by the way, we really need HaKadosh Baruch Hu and out-of-the-box thinking to figure out how we are going to save 150 hostages and bomb Oz at the same time and return to our deterrence at the same time. I don't know how we're going to do it, but there was a Jew in New York who said that he is willing to offer $1 million to any Azati, to any Gazan Arab who is willing to save every Jew. $1 million would be a millionaire overnight. That's out-of-the-box thinking. And that is unity, right? Even the Jews from America are getting involved. And this is the unity that we're talking about. But I started saying, so I was on Shmirah on Bayayira Shachar, and it really is dark there.
Oh, yeah.
And I have neuropathy, so I lose my balance and climbing, and it's in the night. And all of a sudden I see a deer. And I shine the flashlight on him, and he stares at me, and then he realizes what's going on, and he leaves, he dashes. And you don't see him, and then you see him a little later, and then you don't see him, and then you see him a little later. That is exactly how, what Chazal are saying. Hashem is like a tzvi, is like a deer. And that is the Geula process. And just like that's the way it was in Egypt, so too in the final redemption, it is not going to be easy sailing. Again, milchamot gog u'magog, that is, the wars are part of the gula process. That doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. But like we said before, pain is not confusion. Yeah, we knew it was coming, and it is real, and we have to deal with the pain, but don't get confused. Right? On the issue of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, very interesting smack This should be more famous than it is. The Smak, Sefer Mitzvot Ketanot, I brought for you in source number 5. And he says, what is the very first mitzvah? Leida she'oto shebara shemayim va'aretz hu levado moshel. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, what we just read in Parashat Bereishit, he's the only one who runs the world. What is the source of the mitzvah? Kidichti v'anochi Hashem Elokecha. Notice, it doesn't say you are commanded to believe in God. It says, God says, I am God, who took you out of Egypt. It's a fact. It's Pashut a fact. It's not you are commanded to believe. It's Pashut a fact. And that is the mitzvah. So what exactly is the mitzvah? And Bichlal, there's a famous question. The Rambam counts this as a mitzvah to believe in God. The Ramban says you can't command to believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, who's commanding me? Right? The Smak has another answer to the question. Again, the question is, how can you command to believe in God? The Smak continues. Again, we're in source 5. And he says, V'hu hotzianu mimitzrayim v'asal lanu kol haniflaot ve'en adam nokef etzbo milamata elim ken machrizin alav milamala. The same God who took us out of Egypt and who created the world, he continues. Even to this year, in Tavshin Pei Dalet, he continues. Everything that happens in the world is from Hashem. Elim ken machrizin alav milamala. U'bezet talui ma shamru chachamim. And this is where Chazal tell us in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Aleph, on the entrance exam to heaven, one of the 6 questions, Sheshoalin la'adam la'achar mita b'shad dino, sipita li Yeshua. Did you scout for the redemption? In other words, what is the Smak answering? How can you command somebody to believe in God? If you don't believe, you don't believe. The Smak is answering, the mitzvah is just like Hashem took us out of Egypt, that's in the Ten Commandments, so too I believe he is going to take us out in the final redemption. And that is why we search, we scout out. That is to search for the signs of redemption, that is to believe in God. Now what does it mean? So I brought the Gemara Masechet Shabbat again, question number 4 on the entrance exam to heaven. Did you scout for redemption? What does it mean to scout? So I brought source 8, Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel. The Navi Yechezkel tells us what is the job of a scout. By the way, what is the Tenuat HaTzofim in Israel? The Boy Scouts. A Tzofer literally is a scout. What is the job of a scout? Yechezkel lamed gimel ben adam daber bnei amcha v'amarta lehem eretz ki avia le'acher v'lachu am ha'aretz ish echad mikzayem v'natnu oto lahem litzofe. Okay, what is the job of the scout? V'ra'a et acherev ba'al ha'aretz v'taka b'shofar v'izhir et ha'am. He has to sound the siren if he sees the enemy coming. Right? The shofar is the olden day siren. Right? Alert. Where are you? And where should you be? That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Okay? And where do you have to go? So the job of the scout is to actively search for the Geula. But what does it mean actively search? Look in the Ran source 7. Rashi brings down the Divrei Hanavi'im. Search for the words of the prophets. Are they coming true? That's Rashi. But the Ran adds, Vod Sarich Leva'er, Tzipitil Yeshua, B'yamecha. Is it taking place in your generation? Now the truth is, if I were to learn this Gemara 200 years ago, or 500 years ago, or 1,000, or 1,500 years ago, I would say, okay, what are we supposed to look for? Right? Nothing's going on. Mm-hmm. But the commandment is, and this is the main point, when does a person have to scout? When it's not clear to everyone what is going on. And that is why it's such a challenging and important question that we're asked on the entrance exam to heaven. If you see that something, that the signs of redemption are taking place in your generation, that the land of Israel has been revived, and the holy language is revived, and most of the Jewish people are on Aliyah, and Baruch Hashem, we have the strongest army in the Middle East, and all the great things, the high tech and the great economy of the state of Israel, but not everyone is going to see it. And that is why we need scouts who look around, and when they see you and I, when we see that we are in the redemption, we have an obligation to sound the siren, to blow the shofar, and to tell everyone that we are still in the Geula process. Yeah, we hit water. Remember the original mashal? We hit water, but at the beginning, the water is dirty. Now is not the time to lose hope. Adrabah, now is the time to dig with double the fervor, because we know it's just a matter of time that the water will start to become clean. And that is the mitzvah of believing in God, that you search for the signs of Ge'ulah, just like Hashem took us out of Egypt. He's taking us out. Today we can say that we see it. But don't lose hope. That's the chidush here. Don't lose hope, because domed dodi litzvi. Because the Ge'ulah is like that deer who you see him and you don't, and you see him and you don't. Getting back to where we were, paragraph Dalid. Two Dalid. Now we got to hurry up. And here is the punchline. V'chol mishu okev et sidrei ha'yishuv. Whoever is following after what has happened to the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Again, Rav Kook is writing this already in 1929. It has been proven time and time and time and time again since then. But already in 1929, Mireshit Sa'adav Arachsham, from the beginning of the redemption process until now, Yacholu Le'arot Bechush, he can see very clearly, Ekshem Mikol Yerida Asher Savalnu, Nitzmecha Achar Kach Aliyah V'Itpatchut Yoter Gdola. Again, it is a up and down line where the general direction is up. There are downs on the way, but every time we have a down, we rise to a higher point than we were at beforehand. Rav Kook is not making this up. The Vilna Gaon taught this to his students 70, at least 80 years before Rav Kook was born. And I brought for you in source number 3, Yesh Ladat Mirosh. This is the name of the Vilna Gaon. We have to know from the very beginning, Ki Be'ikvot Mashiach, in the time of the footsteps of Mashiach, Mikol Tzara Yotzeit Yeshua. We're not in the Holocaust anymore. We're not in Kishinev anymore. We're not in Pitul Yura anymore. The rules of the game are different. Yeah, there may be pogroms, but after every single zetz, we are going to see a higher and newer stage of the Geula. Mikol tzara yotzeit Yeshua. From every single tzara that we have, that is the laws of Domed Dodi Litzvi. These are the ground rules of the Geula. Vayeshua ba mitoch hatzara, ki davka mimena yivashea. Here the Vilna Gaon and Rav Kook are referring to source number 12, the famous Midrash. It's actually a Pasuk. Yalkut Shimoni, Yirmiyahu, Lamed. On the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Et Sarahi Liyakov, Umimena Yivashea. It is a time of trouble, a difficult time for the Jewish people. Umimena Yivashea. First reading is, okay, Hashem will redeem us from this trouble. Chazal stress, no. From the trouble will come the Yeshua itself. From what happened last Shabbat, all of a sudden Am Yisrael is united. Everyone is fighting. Everyone's giving their lives for each other. The women are helping each other. You go to the makolet for me. I'll do the laundry for you. I'll watch your kids. All of the Noar, all of my students from the Midrash are helping and babysitting. And everyone is helping each other out. I told my students for many years that Yom HaZikaron is special. People speak differently on Yom HaZikaron. People drive differently on Yom HaZikaron. And everyone, the radio is different on Yom HaZikaron, the music. And everyone is a lot more nice, a lot more thoughtful, a lot more contemplative. And I told my students last week, we are now going to be in a long Yom HaZikaron. And it's been already 6 days, 7 days. And there's a good chance it might be 2 months, 3 months. My son told me that the ground attack to conquer Gaza is going to take at least 2 months because they have been booby-trapping everything and we don't want the boys to be killed. And we, those who aren't in the army, we just need that patience to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a huge victory here. And you know what? Even if Hezbollah and Lebanon and Syria and Iran say they all join in, we don't know how much of a challenge we're going to have here. But we are guaranteed that it is going to be, if they all get involved, this is going to be the biggest victory, a lot more than the Six-Day War, a lot more than the Yom Kippur War, because the dip was such a yirida. And that's what Chazal are telling us. Again, Eitzara liYaakov, it is a time of trouble. Umimena yivashea, from that tzara will come the redemption. Again, during the Holocaust, the laws were different. Yeah, you can have a pogrom and an axion and another death camp and another death camp and another death camp, and you're not on the way up. It's just, again, down, 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 down. You're not moving anywhere. That is not the case when we are in the Gula process, where we've already struck water. Mitoch nefila kima, ki nafalti kanti, ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. Again, the pasuk in Micha is not, despite the fact that I fell, I will get up. But because I fell, again, like it says in the Zohar, that the laws of physics are to teach us the laws of metaphysics. And if you want to jump, first you have to crouch, and then you can jump higher. First, the lower down you push the spring, the higher it's going to jump. And Chazal are telling us that we should be prepared. And in Midrash Tehillim is more, hey, ilule sheyashavti b'choshech lo haya Hashem orli. We need, that is part of the Geula process. And Rav Kook continues, and we're running out of time. So let us go straight to Zion. Aval barur hadavar. It is very, very clear. Shelefi ha'erech shel hakisui hazeh. The harder, the more difficult the kisui. Remember, we're talking about the second type of kisui. One covering that is that people don't notice the redemption because it's coming naturally. And because it's not coming, you know, like Superman, here I am, like we thought in kindergarten. That's one covering. The second covering is the wars. Shelefi ha'erech shel hakisui hazeh gadol yeh ha'or asher yigaleh. The more vizets we got, okay. So in 1929, 130 were killed. Now 1,300 were killed. 10 times as bad. That means that the victory is going to be 10 times as great. I told my students, don't leave Israel now, because we're in for a leap in the redemption process. Source 10.
Rav Shabbat, that's very scary because we don't want more Hasi Chalila. Don't want any more people hurt or harmed or captured or killed.
Definitely.
And we want the redemption to be even bigger than this. So it's very scary for me to hear that, especially with the sun on the front lines.
My whole family also is on the front line. And all the people here have the same, we're all in the same boat. And the point here is le'oded, to encourage people that even if what happened on Shabbat was a terrible, and you know what? Biden and America are scared for us. They say, hey, what happened to the Israeli army? We thought you were invincible. We thought that wall, we thought your technology, we thought Kippat Barzel, we thought. And you know what? A lot of Israelis are also scared. And what we are learning today, and that's what Rav Kook is saying, and I thank you for the clarification question, that we don't have to be scared. I imagine and I hope that the worst is already past. And like I said, my son told me that we're already preparing for the ground attack. And I know for a fact that the ground attack, yeah, there are going to be booby trap things, but we know that. And we have been working for years on how to deal with that. But Israel is today united. Nobody believes anymore in Oslo. Nobody believes that it was good to pull out of Gush Katif. Nobody believes in a two-state plan because nobody wants what happened in Sderot and Of Hakim to happen in Tel Aviv, right? Today, the people are unified. And Judy, that is the most important thing, also militarily. Not only in terms of God that he wants us to be unified, but that is militarily, that is necessary. But I want to finish up where Rav Kook, in Source 10, in Orot HaRe'iyah, tells us that we're not just out to have a quiet place in the sun. That's Herzl's Zionism, which is true, but it's just partial. The world has to know, V'yedu ki am Hashem anachnu. We are the people of God. And in one of the psukim that I brought, we don't have time to see it inside, Yisrael nosha ba'Hashem. Am Yisrael, it's not just that Hashem is redeeming us, he's redeeming himself. And again, we're not in the Holocaust anymore. The ground rules have totally changed. There is not going to be another exile. Chazal tells us there's not going to be another exile. And we had at least one entire shiur, and anybody who wants to see it, I wrote 4 or 5 articles, you can find them on the internet, on how do we know that there's not going to be. So there's not going to be another exile. The ground rules are today, the process is up, but there are ups and downs on the way. And Chazal tell us, "Basheva chanitzchi shel Yisrael." God has not and will not leave us for another nation. And this is not just another nation. In paragraph bet, "Chol yad amalut laati katzer milafriya triatenu gulatenu." Woe to the fools who are trying to prevent God from redeeming his people, from redeeming himself, from stopping the Chilul Hashem and making the Kiddush Hashem. We're not just talking about, yeah, please give us a quiet state of Theodor Herzl. We are talking about Gur Aryeh Yehuda. As Rav Kook writes in one of his letters, this is the Lion of Judah, who has been slumbering for 2,000 years, and now we are waking up. And the Hamas is going to get walloped. And just like Jordan, when they stupidly entered the Six-Day War after we had walloped Egypt and Syria, they got walloped even more. And again, Chazal are telling us the ground rules are different today. Yes, there are ups and downs, but we're in the process, and for every down, we're going to get to a higher up. I just want to finish with, again, the Pasuk, Source 15, Yeshayahu Mem. There are many places where we see. Al har gavua lilach mevaseret Zion. Harimi bakoach kolech mevaseret Yerushalayim. Go up on a high mountain, you who have good news for Zion. You who have good news for Yerushalayim. Go up on a harimi al tirai. Raise up your voice. Al tirai. Don't be scared. When do you have to tell somebody, don't be scared? When we are scared. Because those who are searching for the signs of Ge'ulah, we have to search because not everyone sees them. And even those who saw them a year ago, today might get confused because of the pain. And that's the point. Don't be confused. Go up on the mountain and announce, Hine Eloheichem, God is coming. And this is what I really wanted to finish off with. I mentioned this once, Baal Peh, but now you should see it inside. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Vav Amud Aleph. It's unbelievable when you see a Gemara written 1,600 years ago coming true this week. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oila le'uma shetimatze b'shah shakadosh baruchu ose pidyon labanav. Mi metil ksuto ben lavi le'leviya b'shah shenizkakim ze im ze. Woe to the fool who gets in the way, who interferes a lion who has not seen a female lion, not for a year, not for 2 years, not for a decade, for 2,000 years. God finally wants to mate with his beloved lioness, the people of Israel. You got to be really stupid to get in the way of the lion. And not only that, I've been thinking a lot recently about Gilad Shalit. Every time I mention Gilad Shalit, that soldier was kidnapped and we freed a hostage, 1,000 terrorists, and hope that doesn't happen again now. But I always get confused who's the father and who's the son, because Noam Shalit was in the news a lot more than Gilad Shalit. Noam Shalit, the father, went to the presidents and the princes and the kings and the prime ministers all over the world to shake heavens and earth to free his son. And he, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but he succeeded in convincing Netanyahu to free 1,000 terrorists. And just on Shabbat, you hear stories of heroism of what parents, fathers, mothers did to save their children. If a terrorist is holding a child at gunpoint, the parent will do anything to save the child. Hashem is our father, we are his children. And those evil people are holding us at gunpoint. If they're smart, they will get out of the way, because they are going to get walloped in this war. And again, if Hezbollah and if Syria, whoever gets involved is going to get walloped. And the more they get involved, again, for those asking, we're not asking them to get involved, but if they are stupid enough to get involved, that is just going to make the redemption that much greater and that much quicker. And my friend Rav Yair Shitrit, when I pointed this out to it, he was amazed at this Gemara, and he immediately pointed out, notice that our two relationships with Hashem are both mentioned here. He is also Avinu, a father who's going to do anything to save his sons, and also he is our beloved. And he is madly in love with us, and he wants to love us once again. And just like a fool is going to go into the Yichud room for a couple who has been madly in love and haven't touched each other, and now they finally are going to touch each other and express their love, get out of the way. And Hityatzvu Urud Yeshuat Hashem. Hashem is going to save himself. He's going to save his beloved. He's going to save his children. And Chizuk. Chazak ve'amatz. Don't despair. Don't be confused. This is part of the process. Hold on. Tell your children. Tell your grandchildren. Tell your students. Hold on. It's not going to be too long. Again, we don't know if it's going to be 2 months, 3 months, maybe a little more. But for every time there was a challenge in the Zionist history, we always, always rose. Hashem raised us to a higher point in the Gula process.